this morning will be on the great company. The great company. Brother George.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Many of you remember Sister Cora Sunbaum, who used to write in our manna books, "All trials are worth millions, don't waste any of them." Recently, we thought that a play on words would be, "All smiles are worth millions, don't waste any of them." A smile can do so much. After the last discourse, we would not be grateful if we didn't thank our Heavenly Father for the privilege of being here with you, dear ones. We realize that it is a real responsibility to stand before you, but we also consider it a great privilege. And we are thankful for all of the many privileges we have of serving our loving Creator and His dear Son. Yesterday, we brought to those present the loving greetings of your brethren in the Fort Worth Ecclesia. The subject, as was announced, is the great company. We would like for each one of you to either have paper and a pencil, or if you don't have paper, take your program and number 1 through 25. 1 through 25. While you're doing that, we will state the object of this lesson on the great company. The subject of the great company is an important feature of present truth. It is also being given to encourage the development of fruitage, the development of more love, zeal, and activity in the Lord's service. Further, we trust that this lesson will enable us to be more than overcomers. The previous lesson closed with the note that if we're not grateful, we could be a member of the great company class. The first question on the subject: how many times is the great company class shown on the chart of the ages? Here we have this wonderful chart before us. For your number one answer, I want you to write down how many times the great company is shown on the chart of the ages. The answer is 3 times. We will note that it is shown here on plane M, that section of the pyramid denoted small m. That's 1 time. Next, it is shown here with that section of the pyramid falling to pieces, T. Then, thirdly, it is shown in the completed picture by that perfect pyramid, the portion of it, Y. So we trust that your answer was 3. Let's see a show of hands. How many answered correctly? Perhaps then we can see the importance of considering this subject of the great company. We trust, brethren, that we will learn this chart so that if all of our books were removed from us, we would still, in our memory, know God's plan. This is our logo. That is why that it is used on the Divine Plan program time after time after time. People will often inquire when they see that chart what it's all about. We're grateful for a gift that was given to us by Brother Alan Springer, the chart, a plaque that we have on our front door. As a result, there are many opportunities when people come to the door of explaining briefly what God's plan is. So if you find it possible, put the chart where it will be displayed in a prominent place. When you have visitors, you'll have an opportunity showing forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, it's important that we have scriptures to back up what that we believe. And so, in answer to this first question, we would like to first of all turn to Matthew 13. Turn with me to Matthew, the 13th chapter. We shall begin with verse 3. And He spake many things unto them in parables. Elsewhere we read that without a parable, our Lord did not speak unto them. Why did He speak in parables? He didn't want everyone to know during the gospel age, but rather He wanted only those who were in the proper heart condition to understand and to follow in His footsteps. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Now let us particularly note verse 7 in relation to our lesson on the great company. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Remember, one of the objects of this lesson was to enable us to develop more fruitage. Love, zeal, activity in the Lord's service. That's a scriptural answer for this part of the pyramid, showing that down through the gospel age, the word of truth was sown. It reached people with different heart conditions. Let them all grow together during the gospel age. However, there would come a time when there would be a separation. And here we see that topless pyramid falling to pieces, which indicates the separation of the wheat from the tares and the ripe wheat at the time of gathering from the unripe wheat, shown here, the great company class. Now, particularly at this time, or a little later on in the harvest, after the church is complete, the great company will be made manifest as a class. It is after the church is complete that those remaining members of the great company will go through great tribulation. However, that was the experience of all of those of the great company down through the age. Before they died, they went through some tribulation experience. Friends, there will be no tribulation after death. No, the tribulation of the great company is while they still have that new mind in an earthen vessel. For a scripture along this line, may we turn to Revelation, the 7th chapter, which we'll be referring to time and again in this lesson. Verse 14, we read, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they who came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, for that section of the chart in the completed pyramid, We have a scripture which shows that these foolish virgins will be servants before the throne. They will be rejoicing. In Psalm 45, we'd like to read verses 14 and 15. She, that is the bride, shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The bride will be up here. The body members of Christ, the head, shown by the top part of the pyramid. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. This suggests that it takes time and effort to develop a character pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Friends, enough time is devoted to each one, is given to each one of us to make our calling and election sure. But it does take effort. Then, particularly the part that we are concerned with in this lesson, the virgins, her companions, who follow her, shall be brought unto thee. Now, how will these be brought? Will they have long faces? Will they complain? Will they murmur? No, they will realize the mercy of our Heavenly Father, who had begotten them with His word of truth to become partakers of His own nature. However, because of unfaithfulness, because of ingratitude, they will have this position before the throne. So, realizing the mercy of God, the psalmist brings to our attention that they will be brought with gladness and rejoicing. They shall enter into the king's palace. Isn't that a wonderful arrangement in God's plan? By all rights, they should have been blotted out because they failed to be more than an overcomer. Yet, because that they still love the Lord and eventually overcame, they will be before the throne. With those brief scriptures then on this first question, let us go to number two. I write down the answer. How many are called to the great company class? How many are called to the great company class? May we turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. No one, then, is called to be of the great company. It is a mercy class, as we have seen. We have been called to fulfill a particular function in the body of Christ. When we really analyze this, it's thrilling. Each member of our human body is important. Now, as we grow older, we sometimes have to have some of our teeth pulled, maybe all of them. Not too long ago, I had to have some more teeth pulled. I thought that my wisdom tooth that I had pulled was just in the way, that I didn't need it. When I had it and another tooth next to it pulled, I realized how important every tooth is. So it is with the body of Christ. Every member is important. And let us do everything possible to encourage each other to be faithful, and thus eventually we'll all be together beyond the veil, 144,000 members with Christ the head. So the Heavenly Father isn't calling any of us to be of the great company class. We're called in the one hope of our calling. Are you ready for number three? How many foolish virgins will there be? Well, I think the title of this subject gives that answer. It's a great company. It's a great multitude. Again, as we mentioned, we would be returning to Revelation, the 7th chapter, many times in this lesson. May we note verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. This does not mean that it is a number so large that it cannot be computed. No. But rather, it is not a predestinated number. The number of the little flock is predestinated. As we have seen, that number is 144,000 body members. However, the great company is not a predestinated number. Now, we note further in this verse 9 that these who will constitute the great company come from all nations, all nationalities. Here in the East at this convention, we can appreciate this more fully than in some parts of the country because many nationalities are represented at this convention. In the earlier days of the harvest, when the pastor was active in proclaiming this message worldwide, there were those in this country who had come from the old country who received the truth, then they shared it with their relatives or friends back in the old country. And that's marvelous, the way that the Lord worked in this. Perhaps we do not know of some, or have not known of some, in some of the nations of the world, but according to the Revelator, it is made up of all nationalities, and kindreds, and people, and tongues. Now here we're told in this verse 9 that their position is before the throne. They stood not on the throne, but before the throne, and before the Lamb, and they had clothing. It was white robes and palms in their hands. They were overcomers. The palms indicate this, but they were not on the throne. They had cleaned up their robes, which had been given to them, but after being given, they had become spotted. More about this as we proceed. Number 4. Who relegates one to the great company? Who relegates one to the great company? The answer is that it is the one who has begotten them of the Spirit to the divine nature. It is the Heavenly Father. This is beautifully brought to our attention in that wonderful lesson, The Vine and the Branches. John, the 15th chapter, if you'll turn with me to that, we shall read verses 1 and 2. There in this wonderful lesson, our Lord says, I am the true vine. It is your privilege and my privilege to be one of the branches in that vine because we have been called. But we're not called to remain as branches. No, we must bury our human wills into the will of God and cease to be a branch in order that we might become a part of the root, a part of the life giver for the world of mankind. Yes, my Father, your Father, the Heavenly Father, is the husbandman, the vine dresser, the caretaker. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he, the Father, taketh away. So it is the Father who relegates one to this great company class. Now, those of us who are bearing fruitage are given certain experiences. They're called pruning experiences here in this lesson. Think it not strange concerning these fiery trials which we have. Think it not strange when we have gone a little bit in our own way that we have pruning experiences to draw us back. It is so easy for the tendrils of a branch to cling on to whatever is within its reach. The Heavenly Father knew that that would be our condition too. We would have the tendency to cling on to the things of this earth, whether it's a home, a car, a bank account, a wife, husband, children, relatives, friends. We have this tendency to cling to the things of this earth. That is why we need pruning experiences in order that we might bear fruitage. Otherwise, it would make a beautiful vine, but no fruitage. The Father is calling us, has called us, in order that we might develop a character pleasing to Him, pictured by the needlework, as we've already seen. We'll go now to question number 5. Question number 5. Why is one relegated to this class? Well, as we have just seen from John 15:2, if one isn't bearing fruitage after a reasonable amount of time, then he is relegated to the great company class. Let's consider another scripture. This is in the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. Do you remember where this parable is found? It's found in Matthew 25. So may we turn to Matthew 25. For the moment, we're going to read only verse 3. These are virgins. They are consecrated. But as we see here on the chart of the ages, some of these virgins are wise. The top portion of this topless pyramid, and some are foolish. Verse 3, they who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. These foolish virgins then are not developing the fruit of the Spirit. Question number 6. Do those who become foolish virgins lose their anointing? We'll repeat the question. Do those who become foolish virgins lose their anointing? Yes, they do. In Revelation 7:15, we read these words. Therefore are they before the throne, and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. When we make a full consecration, we individually are begotten, as we have seen, of the Spirit to the divine nature, in order that we could be a certain part of that body of Christ. Individually we're begotten, but we come in under this one anointing of the Spirit. Our Lord was anointed with the Spirit at the time of His full consecration at 30 years of age. So as we individually come under His headship, we come in under this one anointing. If one is relegated to the great company class, then he would lose that anointing. Are you ready for question number 7? And do the foolish virgins feed continually upon the exceeding great and precious promises? Of course, the answer is no. What does Peter tell us is necessary for one to do if he is going to receive the divine nature? Turn with me to 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 4. That's 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 4. Peter, writing to the church, says, whereby are given unto us, the us class would be the fully consecrated, exceeding great and precious promises. I wonder why he said exceeding. Oh, they are exceeding great, aren't they? And they're precious. How many precious promises can you recall? Do you make it a practice to try to go over these promises? Do you claim them? Do you feed upon them? That's what Peter is telling us is necessary if we're going to become partakers of the divine nature. So may we feed upon these promises. Those who will constitute the great company class do not continue to feed upon them. They become fearful. They lose some of their faith. They become overcharged with the cares of this world. The main promise that they are not claiming is the fact that they have an advocate with the Father. All of the consecrated have an advocate with the Father. May we turn to 1 John, the second chapter, verse 1. All of us need Jesus as our advocate. Why do we need Jesus as our advocate? Because we're continually coming short in thought, word, and deed. Don't become discouraged because wrong thoughts come to your mind. Try to get rid of them, though, as soon as possible. Go to the Heavenly Father through our advocate and ask forgiveness for these sins and these shortcomings. When we say something unkind to someone and afterwards we're sorry, ask forgiveness. We have an advocate. Remove that spot from this beautiful white robe which has been given to us. So if we think or say or do something that is wrong, we have the privilege of being forgiven. Removing that spot. And the way to remove it, our Lord through the Revelator tells us, is by blood. Yes, the blood of the Lamb. Now, those who will constitute the great company class will eventually have to claim this promise. That's the only way that they can clean up their robes. Remember, it's through the blood of the Lamb. But where does the great tribulation come in? You see, the experiences that they had all down through the gospel age, and then when they are as a class manifested going through great tribulation, these experiences will cause them to call upon the Lord. These experiences will cause them to let go of the beautiful things of this earth and to hang on to the Lord. But it's too late to be the bride. They've already been relegated to the great company class. Therefore, they are before the throne and not on the throne. All right, shall we go to number 8? Is it possible for one relegated to the great company to be reinstated to the little flock? The answer, no, it is not possible. You see, when one is relegated to the great company class, another one is immediately invited to take that one's place. I don't know whether this is the case or not, but at this time, at this late date in the harvest, it seems reasonable to me that there are many in line for the different crowns still available. Now, yesterday we were saying that we think that the number of crowns on this side of the veil is a small one. Of course, the Lord knows. But I would like to think that for each crown that has been apportioned to us and to all of the consecrated, that there are many in line who could quickly be invited to come in. And if the first one in line counts the cost after being called and turns it down, then the next one, or the next one. Maybe that's not the way the Heavenly Father works, but it seems reasonable to me. I think this may explain why that there are many with faith who love the truth, who love the Lord, yet not having been called, they wouldn't make a covenant with God by sacrifice. But if there is an opening, well, quickly they come in. Number 9, will the foolish virgins receive restitution? The answer is no. In Psalm 50, verse 5, we note that those who have been called and who have accepted a call have made a covenant with God by sacrifice. Then in Romans 12:1, Paul invites us to, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So when one has made an acceptable consecration, it means that he has given up his hope of living here upon this beautiful earth when it becomes a paradise worldwide. That is a sacrifice, but it's a reasonable sacrifice. And think of the joy that will be those who will be associated with our Lord in restoring all the willing and obedient. So once that we give up our hope of living here on the earth, there is no way that one could receive the restitution blessing. That's why this great company class, this mercy class, is a wonderful arrangement by the Heavenly Father. Number 10, which has already been partially covered, do the foolish virgins have robes to cover them? Again, we turn to Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these who are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? So they do have white robes. Number 11, do they allow spots to remain for a long time upon their robes? And the answer is yes. This morning, I won't tell which sister it was, but I don't want to embarrass her. But she evidently got some food on her beautiful dress. And immediately, what did she do? Well, she rushed over to clean it off. Well, that should be our attitude, you see, with this robe. As we do something wrong, we should immediately rush to the throne of heavenly grace through our advocate. But all of us know that if you leave a spot on a garment for any length of time, it is much more difficult to remove. So that's what happens to the great company class. They allow a spot to get on. Well, what's the use of being so careful? Why not just live like our neighbors do? They don't bother about going to meetings every Sunday. You know, they like to go and enjoy some of the things of this world, so we'll just do that. Or we'll do this, you know, after all, it's something good, and they think. Why be so careful? And, you know, when you convince yourself of some little thing like that, then it's easier next time to find an excuse and becomes easier. And after a while, you don't really recognize that your robe is becoming spotted. Others may know it, but eventually they will have to clean these up if they gain life. Number 12, which also has Revelation 7:14 as an answer, are the spots eventually removed? And we've seen that those who will constitute this class must remove them. Number 13, how do the foolish virgins remove the spots? That also has been answered. It's the blood of the Lamb. Number 14, what position will the great multitude have? As we've already read chapter 7, verse 9, their position is before the throne, as we have seen. We notice that all who gain life will be under the headship of Christ. But there will be different planes of these different ones associated with the human family. These are the ones who will be on the divine plane. The great company will be on the perfect spirit plane, and the world of mankind lifted up to the plane of human perfection. Number 15, must the foolish virgins overcome in order to gain life? We have seen that they must overcome. There is a difference, of course, between being an overcomer and more than an overcomer. More about that as we proceed. Number 16. Are they forced to overcome? Is one who is relegated to the great company forced to overcome? The answer is no. Why is that the answer? The Heavenly Father doesn't force anyone. Now, it is necessary to make a decision, but they won't be forced to overcome. He will force them to make a decision, but not to to gain life. They've got to choose that in order to have this position before the throne. Number 17. Do both the little flock and the great company experience much tribulation? The answer is yes. The scripture, Acts 14:22. Turn with me to Acts 14:22. I will read just a portion of that verse. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Let's repeat it. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. It's these struggling experiences of life which make us long for our change. All of you remember reading in the sixth volume, I believe it is, about this collector of moths who had this particular moth that he put in his library all winter. And later he saw this moth struggling to get out of the cocoon. And it seemed so hopeless for it to get out. So in kindness, he took the scissors and snipped the end of this cocoon. And the moth emerged, but it never flew. Why? Afterwards, he was told that it was the struggles that forced the juice into the wings of this insect and thus enabled it to fly. You remember reading that in the sixth volume. And so we must have tribulation experiences to enable us to become partakers of the divine nature. So through much tribulation shall we enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. However, we do this because of our love for the Heavenly Father. We do it because we want to do His will. Those who will go through the great, who will constitute the great company class, will also have tribulation. They have had all down through the gospel age. Nevertheless, it's too late, as we've seen, for them to become partakers of the divine nature. So both classes have tribulation experiences. Number 18, is one turned over to Satan after being relegated to the great company? The answer, of course, is yes. We have some scriptures to back this up. First, may we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. You remember the occasion of this. One in the church there had been unfaithful. And so Paul was writing to the Corinthians. And in verse 5, he says, Well, perhaps maybe we should start with verse 3 rather than just go right into the verse. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So those who are relegated to the great company class are turned over to Satan, and he, of course, is opposing these, and thus their flesh is destroyed. But meanwhile, if they overcome, they will receive a portion before the throne. Then again in 1 Corinthians 3:15, we read, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. All of these earthly attractions that we're being cling to must be burned up. We must let go, because flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. And since that those who will constitute the great company have given up their human hopes, aims, and ambitions, they must let go if they're going to gain life. Concerning Satan, we believe that our Lord entered into the strong man's house in the year 1874. Satan usurped authority and is styled the God of the second dispensation. Our Lord entered and began the work of binding that old serpent, your adversary, the devil. However, even though Satan's power and influence over some are being bound, yet his struggles in resisting are causing the world's greatest time of trouble, along with his associates, those demons who kept not their first estate. The time will come here on the chart when Satan will be fully bound. But meanwhile, this is one of the reasons why he is not yet fully bound, because those last members of the great company class will be turned over to him for the destruction of their flesh. One of the many reasons that he's not yet fully bound. Now, that would be an hour subject in itself. Let's go on to number 19. When will the foolish virgins be made manifest as a class? That will be after the little flock is complete. We can't now say that brother so-and-so is of the great company class, or sister so-and-so is of the great company class. No, they will not be made manifest as a class until after the little flock is complete. We have some scripture citations, Matthew 25:10, Psalm 45:14. I'm going to have to skip the reading some of these because our time is almost up. Let's go on to number 20. How many nationalities will there be in the great company? That's already been answered. All nationalities. Revelation 7:9. Number 21. Will the foolish virgins have a share in the first resurrection? And the answer is no. Who has a part in the first resurrection? Those who are more than overcomers will receive glory, honor, and immortality. Our Lord, through the Revelator, says that those who have a share in the first resurrection will not be able to be destroyed. No, the second death hath no power over those. Can you just visualize what it is to have life within yourself? Now we have to eat many times a day in order to sustain this frail earthen body. In spite of all of this, we're still dying, still full of aches and pains. But those who are more than overcomers will have life within themselves. What a privilege is held out to us to be invited to receive the divine nature. Number 22, will the great company be a part of the church of the firstborn? There the answer is yes. May we turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 22 and 23. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and so forth. Yes, to get the context of this, the type of this lesson illustrates our day. We're in the time of the sounding of a trumpet. It's the last trump. How long does this trump sound? 1,000 years. This Jubilee trump has already begun to sound, and it will continue until the end of the restitution age. The restitution age is 1,000 years. And so the events in the earth today are preparing mankind for the establishment of this wonderful kingdom for which many have prayed for so long. Yesterday we were seeing how that men are demanding their real and their fancied rights such as never before. These things are preparing them for this establishment of the earthly phase of the kingdom. But before the establishment of the earthly phase of the kingdom, there will be this general assembly and church of the firstborn. Do you want to be there? The little flock will definitely be there. And there will be this great multitude as virgins, as servants, who will also be present. That's going to be a large convention. It's going to be more than just the 144,000. And there will no doubt yet to meet our guardian angels. Won't that be a precious experience? They've done so much for us. Let us be thankful for them. Remember Brother McAllister's lesson on being grateful. That's another thing we can be grateful for. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those who have been called to be heirs of salvation. Let us not run off and leave our guardian angels on the highway. If the speed limit says 55, and if we go 75, that angel is way behind us. Well, that's just a simple illustration. But let us endeavor to do perfectly, even though we know we come short. Remember that promise, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Number 23, do the foolish virgins have a share in the sin offering? The answer is no. Only the Lord's goat. I wish we had time to consider that more, but take down as a scripture Leviticus 16, 9 and 10. Number 24, the foolish virgins are fearful of what? The answer is Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. The foolish virgins are fearful of this sacrificial death. Number 25, I was wondering if we were going to get through, but we are. Number 25, in what attitude will the great company enter into the king's palace? Shall we give a couple of scripture citations? Psalm 45, 14 and 15. Psalm 45, 14 and 15, she shall be brought unto the king in raiment and needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Then in Revelation 19, 6 and 7, not only applies to that great company who will be before the throne, but another application is that the whole world of mankind will eventually recognize that the bride has made herself ready and that the blessings are flowing out to mankind. Remember, it will be known that you were born in Zion, if so be that you are more than an overcomer. So we need not be concerned that those here upon earth of our relatives or friends won't know where we are, because then it will be told them that you were born in Zion. May we be there, dear brethren. Well, brethren, with our lesson on the great company this morning, let us take to heart the words of Apostle Paul to the Romans, that we be more than conquerors, more than overcomers. We will conclude this service with the use of number 130. Number 130 will remain seated while we sing the three verses, and then Brother George will dismiss us with prayer, and after that there'll be a few short announcements. Number 130. Loving Father, we're thankful that Thou hast called us to be a member of Thy divine family. We thank Thee for Your exceeding great and precious promises. We thank Thee for our dear Redeemer, Jesus, our Advocate. We're at this time grateful for the brethren here in the Hartford Ecclesia who have made arrangements for our meeting together and also for our noonday meal.
We ask thy blessing upon this food that we're about to partake of. And we ask your blessing upon our fellowship. We pray that we might stay close to thee, close to our dear Redeemer. We do pray that we might lay down our lives in thy service, one for another. And we do pray that you will give us wisdom and grace and strength as we endeavor to share these blessed tidings far and near. Forgive us for our many shortcomings in thought, word, and deed. We come to thee in the name of Jesus, our Advocate and Redeemer and Savior. Amen.